Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Vince Ellis of the Detroit Free Press is reporting that the Pistons plan to match any offer, even the max, for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, to which I say good. Good. I figured the Pistons would go this way anyway. It's comforting to know that they know what they're doing. I said before the trade deadline that if the Pistons had any reservations about maxing out KCP, about matching a max offer, they should trade him then. Because a max offer at that point was almost certainly coming. Now, because there's been nothing to get in the way of it, it's even more clear. If KCP goes to hunt for max offers, he'll get max offers. So you can't let him go for nothing. There are some fans who are ready to let him go. And I just say, what's the alternative? The way the salary cap works, the Pistons won't be able to offer a max contract for somebody else. They can keep KCP because they have his bird rights. This team is already around the cap level with his hold, would be above it with his cap hold. You take off his cap hold, they're not going to be much more under the cap than what the value of the mid-level exception is. The way the cap is set up, you can't just replace your own players who are free agents necessarily for the same amount you would have paid them. You have to be under the cap anyway. The Pistons would not be under the cap anyway. You let KCP go, that's not going to clear max cap space. So what are you going to do? You're going to try and find somebody with the mid-level exception around $8 million? You're not going to get anybody near KCP's level for that. Are you going to just let KCP go and elevate Stanley Johnson to the starting shooting guard? Such an off year for Stanley Johnson, a disappointing year. That we really have to look at is reevaluating what we think of Johnson's role in the franchise. But I've never been convinced of his ability to play shooting guard, even his best moments. He looks to me like a combo forward. He can be physical. He can stretch the floor some for a forward. But you put him at shooting guard, you're exacerbating all his flaws. Asking him defensively to chase around smaller players around the perimeter, that's not his game. Asking him to play make. The Pistons keep doing that, and I don't get it. Because I don't think he has this playmaking ability. I think he's somebody who can move the ball well, handle the ball well for a combo forward. But you put him at shooting guard and effectively ask him to be, you know, the secondary ball handler, the secondary distributor, you can get a ton of turnovers. I don't think that's just age. I think some of that's his game. That's not the role for him. And yeah, it'll get a little better as he develops, as he gets older. But I think you're just playing from behind it, and you're taking away an asset where you have somebody who I still think potentially could develop into a helpful contributor as a forward. But if you keep asking Stanley Johnson to play shooting guard, you're asking for problems. KCP is the shooting guard on this roster. You don't give it to Reggie Bullock? What has he shown? Same with Michael Beneje. There's just nobody on this roster who can take it over. You can't get anybody with the mid-level exception who's near KCP's level. Sure, you could always make a trade, but if you make a trade, you're going to lose a strength somewhere else. The Pistons don't just have a surplus of valuable players. They might have one too many forwards, but all their forwards, at least two of their main three forwards, because we're going to leave Stanley Johnson out of this for a second, the three main playing forwards, Marcus Morris, Tobias Harris, and John Lohr. Two of the three are coming off real down years where their value is low. It's not the time to sell on Marcus Morris or John Lohr. You're not going to get a shooting guard as good as KCP. And even if you wanted to trade Tobias Harris, because if you're so certain, somehow, some way, so certain that Marcus Morris and John Lohr will snap back and be fine and you could trade Tobias Harris for a shooting guard, I doubt you're going to get one as good as KCP there too, and then you lose Tobias Harris, who's a good young player on a reasonable contract. Who are you going to bring off the bench at forward? You don't want to take a downturn somewhere else. You have to keep KCP. Thankfully, it seems like a reasonable option. He's just 24. So whether it's a four-year contract, which is the longest deal another team can offer him, or a five-year deal, which the Pistons could get by signing him straight up, over the next 4 or 5 years, he projects to remain pretty good. This is the advantage of signing somebody who's just 24, and it often gets lost. Yeah, there are going to be free agents who are better than KCP. Guys in their late 20s, early 30s. They're not necessarily going to be better than him over the life of their contract, and I'm not so worried about the present with this Pistons team. They're not exactly where they want to be. Their window's somewhat open for getting there, and they need to leave it open, and that's why somebody like KCP is helpful. Because he's pretty good right now, he's going to be pretty good in 2 years, is still going to be pretty good in 4 years. He's become a better three-point shooter. It's part of his game that's definitely progressed. He's a high-volume guy, made 35% this year. His stroke looks good. I think he can get better at that. He's become devastating in transition. He hunts three-pointers in transition. He gets to the rim. He is so fast. He's improved as a pick-and-roll ball handler. It's not something I want to do much. But sometimes when the offense breaks down, when you need somebody to handle that, when there's a really good defensive player on your point guard, you want to have that option to have your shooting guard be able to do that. He's not really there as a distributor yet. Maybe some small signs of progress there just because he's running more of those pick and rolls. More of this is to get himself going a little bit, but he can do it to find his teammate, to hit the roll man, to find somebody else. He's making progress there. And then defensively is the primary area where he helps. He can guard three positions. He can guard one, twos, and threes. He often guards the opposing point guard. A lot of small forwards can be tough for him, but he can definitely handle minutes there. He's not a liability against small forwards, even if that's not his best position. But his ability to cross match it and lock up a lot of point guards is intriguing, especially if the Pistons keep asking so much of their point guard. Part of the reason they ask so much of their point guard, to be fair, is because KCP is limited as a ball handler for a shooting guard. Just talked about how Stanley Johnson can't do it. KCP is limited for that. But running these pick and rolls, it is a sign of growth in his game. He is a little more steady with it than Stanley Johnson. He's far less likely to turn it over, be so erratic with it. So you can do it with the confidence like it's not going to turn into disaster too often. It's just not a reliable thing to put the ball in KCP's hands and ask him to create for himself or others. It's just not a high upside option. So you're going to put a lot on the point guard's plate. For now, that's Reggie Jackson. It'll probably be Reggie Jackson for a while. And then it's nice to have KCP be able to cross match and cover those point guards. KCP, I don't know if this is still the case, but last year had pretty much developed a reputation as not the Steph Curry stopper, but the player in the NBA more capable of defending Steph Curry than anybody else. That's going to draw intrigue. Well, Steph Curry on his way to winning his second straight MVP. It was just a good matchup for KCP. I mean, the way KCP can move on his feet, he could stay with Curry through a lot of Curry's ball handling and moves and fight through some of those screens on and off the ball. It was a good matchup. Now, that doesn't mean KCP could ever stop Curry, but it was a good matchup in that what he just normally did, was better suited to defend Curry than the average point guard stylistically, to bring down Curry by a percentage. Now, Curry's at such a high peak, that means only so much, but that's the type of thing that draws attention. There are a lot of teams out there right now. The Pistons aren't there yet, not nearly, and especially because they're in the Eastern Conference, but there are a lot of teams out there right now who are saying, how can we beat the Warriors? And that starts with slowing down Steph Curry. Teams like that, they're looking for ways to get players like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. And you know who's a player like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope? Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. So he's going to have trade value. He's going to get these offers in free agency. Now, maybe some of those teams looking to take down the Warriors who are at the point in their progression where they can gun for the Warriors or have at least diluted themselves into that for some teams. Some of them might not have cap space, but the ones that do, they're going to come hard with offer sheets. The Nets were rumored to be interested in KCP. they're the type of team that could come with a big offer sheet because they're so far away from contending. You know, they can throw around some money. They'll have cap space. They don't have those draft picks. They traded them all to the Celtics. But they could make a big offer. Philadelphia could make a big offer. KCP, his skill set, would help so many teams. You cannot have enough in the NBA right now wings who can shoot three-pointers and D up. You play more wings now than ever because teams are going small. Often that means putting three wings on the court when traditionally it's just two. The player who's playing the four, that the nominal power forward, is often just a bigger wing, which means you're depleting your wing depth a little bit. So even if KCP's not going to be the guy playing power forward, well, if your small forward is now playing power forward and your shooting guard is now playing small forward, that leaves a hole and KCP's one of the guys who can fill it. And you need guys like that throughout the course of a game. Tons of teams can use him. He's going to get big offers. So why do the Pistons put this out now that they're going to match any offer? Maybe to dissuade some. Maybe so they can open the door for being more proactive a little bit with trying to tell KCP, hey, look, it, you might not get this four-year offer you want. Go ahead, go search for it. Whatever offer you get will match. So if you can get it, more power to you. But maybe they're trying to open up KCP a little bit to a five-year contract. Now, that five-year contract might not be worth the full max. Maybe he has to give up a little bit per year in exchange for the security of a fifth year. Maybe he doesn't even want that security. Maybe he'd rather hit free agency again at age 28 rather than 29. You know, maybe he can get a player option on that or with some type of partial guarantee. There's a lot of different ways this could go. Rich Paul is KCP's agent. Rich Paul has a history of just waiting for the offer he wants. That's his MO. So this is sort of the, I wouldn't say the first move, because the Pistons and KCP have been circling this a while. But this is a big move in sort of this dance toward free agency, toward a resolution here. It's hard to see KCP not ending up back with the Pistons, after, especially after they put this out. But this is just sort of a way of going about it, a way of setting the stage for this to happen. And this is actually the last few months where the Pistons can take this strategy. Even though this was anonymous and, you know, they could always have plausible deniability, and we'll see how this gets enforced. But the new collective bargaining agreement that kicks in July 1st specifically bans teams from threatening to match any offer for a restricted free agent. Now, the old CBA, the current CBA, that's the one still in place till July 1. So the Pistons can say this. There's no rule against it. The Pistons could just come out and say it. Vince Ellis attributes this to a couple of anonymous sources. But if Stan Van Gundy, Jeff Bauer, Tom Gores even, whoever wants to come out right now and say, hey, we're going to match any offer for KCP, they could do it. This still gets the same message sent out. And I'm sure a lot of teams will still say this stuff behind closed doors. They could send a text message to every other team in the league, although I don't know if they would do that because then maybe somebody would turn them in. But it's so easy to get the word out there. You know, I trust Vince Ellis's reporting. I think he got it from somebody within the team, because if it wasn't somebody within the team, then how would they know? Like, I trust this. But the Pistons could always say, hey, that Vince Ellis, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He just makes stuff up. And how could the NBA find them? There's nobody on record. So we'll see how this gets enforced, you know, if the Pistons try and put something out in July or any team in future years. I do find this an interesting wrinkle of the new CBA. But for now, the Pistons are putting out word, KCP, any offer sheet will be matched. We'll see what that does to the market, whether it cools it, how it affects the Pistons' negotiations with KCP, and whether they just wait him out or be a little more proactive. We'll get a better idea of that as free agency comes closer on July 1. We'll keep an eye on KCP and everything else. We'll definitely have more draft talk this week, something I'm looking forward to getting into on this podcast a little more. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is David Locke, founder of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks so much for tuning in to your favorite Locked On podcast. We have something really special going on here. We are the only daily local podcast format in the country, and we are one of the only places for local companies to be able to advertise on a podcast serving the fans, the listeners that want your product locally. No other podcast network does this for you. And that's why we want you to advertise right here on your favorite Locked On podcast. Our audience is 98% male. It's about 77% between the ages of 25 and 54, and also 77% between 18 and 44. So you're hitting the core demographic. If your company wants men 25 to 54 or 18 to 44, then you should advertise right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We'd love to have you. Our rates are reasonable. It's all based on the amount of listens. So you can email me, David Locke, at dlock09@gmail.com, or contact your host. We'd love to have you aboard, joining in with the great success that we're having on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.